Welcome to the Frank Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD, brought to us by Footman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Again, I want to encourage. That's a word. I'm sure it's a word. I dare you to challenge me in Scrabble if that's not a word. I encourage you to visit us online at WFMD.com, keyword faith. There you'll find a daily Monday through Friday updated blog. And I need you to email me, Troy at WFMD.com, because your blog, or my blog, is your blog. So you email me and I post what you email. It's the way to make the show interactive, because we don't take calls. You know, the show's actually, I have two pastors in the room today. The show's not live, okay? So I couldn't take calls that I wanted to unless it was through some sort of divine, supernatural intervention. So the way to make the show a little interactive is we post your emails on the Faith Debate page. So I encourage you to do that. What am I reading these days? Little John Piper goes a long way. Don't waste your life. A hearty recommend for that one. And we're going to talk about how CEOs shouldn't be wasting their life, or yours, or mine, today. Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, and co-founder of the show, and founder and president and CEO of Frederick 48.
Yes, Frederick 48. I'm very excited about where we're going with this year. We have put together a team. Last year, we didn't have enough time because we were responding to the cuts the commissioners had made. Well, this year, we're beyond that. You know, we're not tying it to the cuts commissioners made. We're just going to take it to the next level. And we have a team put together that has several very high energy people here in Frederick that are ready to rally the Catholic community, ready to rally other parts of the faith community, ready to rally our school systems and students, both in the elementary and high school, up through high school and up into college, students, to get all of Frederick out for 48 hours to see if we can give more in 48 hours than has ever been given to those charitable organizations that are helping those that are most in need in Frederick. And the cool thing is that the way that we're setting it up is you decide which organization to give to. Nobody else decides for you. We're finishing the website so that you can give through the website. We had one that we used last year with the United Way, and we're taking that to a whole new level this year. And you will get to choose who you give to and who you think other people should give to. And we're going to try to see if we can increase the number of people that give to charitable organizations this year in Frederick. We're making a big push on social media. That's going to be the core of everything that we're doing, is helping those charitable organizations to use social media effectively to raise funds for what they do.
Sounds
we're
like
very excited about it.
That, you know, local, like, you know, religiously inclined Christian business leaders might want to get involved in supporting.
It does. Absolutely.
Sounds to me like.
I would agree.
By the way, I'm beginning to think that social media should more accurately be called anti-social media. But that's me.
Oh, yeah. You realize that there is an age problem that you face, that you're just too old to appreciate anything better.
I don't know. Being social speaks to me about, you know, relationship, true communication, authentic. You know, interpersonal dealings, not this pseudo pretend. I have 12,000 friends. Really, name four of them. You know? So, anyway, but that's me. Ken Gosno is the area chair for the C12 group in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, also pastor at Restoration Point Christian Church in Frederick. And, you know, C12 group, what a coincidence.
Uh-oh.
That's a group of Christian business leaders that come together and hold each other accountable, mutual accountability. There's training of how to run your business like Jesus would have you run your business. Learn some spiritual truths. Learn how to manage your people in a Christ-like way. How to develop leaders within your organization. Sounds like the kinds of people running these businesses that would get behind Frederick 48. It's just
it
amazing how that occurs to me.
All right.
Okay, did I do a good job,
yeah,
Jonathan?
Yeah, but his guys are down in Baltimore and down in Rockville, so we got to get it started.
We need to get it right. We need to get it started in Frederick.
You know, I got to tell you, the more I think about this, if I'm a Christian business owner,
those businesses want customers in Frederick County, though.
That's right. And if they do, they better get on board.
We'll blacklist them.
That's right. I was going to use that very word. What does that mean, blacklist? I don't even know what that means.
That's probably racist. Yeah.
I don't know. So anyways, I was just thinking, if I was a Christian business owner and I'm going to church every Sunday and I am being impacted by the messages, you know, my heart is soft,
right.
And I'm like, man, I want to do what's right. Man, to have a place where other Christian business owners are coming together and they're getting resources to help, you know, to kind of give them best practices and information about how to do things and how to handle things on a regular basis, I think I would travel from Frederick
right.
to Baltimore to be a part of that. How often, like, what do you have to do if you're a Christian business owner listening, you know, to this show, and you're like, man, I want to be a part of one of those things.
Sure.
What do you have to do? You just go online and sign up?
You can go to our website at www.c12group.com, find our local meeting and register online, or you can send an email to me at ken.gosnell, G-O-S-N-E-L-L, at c12group.com.
So you'd like to come. How often are the meetings?
Like, the meetings are once a month.
Once a month.
And we encourage our business owners to think about it as a day to strategically work on their business.
It's a full day?
It's a full day.
Once a month? I'm going to give a full day.
Absolutely.
Just to hang out with other Christian CEOs.
To work on their business, not to be away from
their business. We're talking like an eight-hour day?
We're talking about an eight-hour day. And
wow.
What happens is we spend some time in devotional. We have a time where we work on our have a business segment where we think about a business strategy, whether it's how to deal with customer complaints or how do I develop a pay-for-performance system in my company. I mean, whatever the business topic is, and we run the gamut of those business
topics.
That
is 96 hours a year.
Right. We talk about ministry, how to build our business for ministry, and then we have a time where we have...
Like, you actually preach the gospel?
We do.
Through the business?
Well, right.
Doesn't that drive people away? I mean, what if Muslims come? You know, it's going to drive them away. What if Jewish people come? You know, it's going to drive them away.
Right. I got a funny story. I got a guy that we invited him to come to the C12 group when we launched, and he said, I'm not a Christian, and I'm quite offended by you even asking me to come to this group.
Huh.
And I said, well, what kind of company do you run? And he says, I own a furniture store. And I said, well, do you believe everybody needs furniture? And he said, yes, absolutely. I believe in my heart. Everybody needs furniture. So I sat down. I said, well, would you
why he has a mattress sale every week.
I said, would you be surprised if somebody came up to you and said that they didn't need any furniture and they're offended that you'd ask them that they need furniture?
Uh-oh.
And what we said, what I said is that, you know, we are a Christian CEO group, but we do allow people that are sensitive to trying to figure out how to run the business in a way that's effective to come and set in part of our
group. And then has high moral standards. Yeah. So what did he do? Did he come?
He hasn't come yet, but he might come.
Yeah.
So they don't have to be Christian CEOs to join. They just have to acknowledge, okay, I'm joining a Christian group, but they don't themselves have to be Christians.
They have to meet that's a good question.
Yeah.
They would have to have a resonance with the idea that I'm going to run my business as the way that the Bible talks about. So we are open to having people that are not of faith to come to the group and become members. They have to be approved by the other members. It's a membership only group.
So you got to be approved.
So you've got to be approved by the other
members.
Is
that true if you're a Christian guy, you got to be approved also?
Sure, absolutely. By the current members, they have to approve the other person.
And what's the approval process?
They have to come to a meeting, set in on a full day.
Okay.
And then we ask the members, did they fit into the group? Do you believe that they're willing to run their business like Christ would have them run their business, and they either accept it or we tell them that they're not qualified.
Do the members of these CEO groups, these C12 groups around the country, and more specifically, I guess, in yours, but just generally follow along denominational lines? Are they mostly Baptist guys?
Right.
Mostly?
Is this a Calvinist organization?
Yeah. No, actually.
Quoted John
mostly
Calvin
Roman Catholic
on the website.
Guys,
yeah.
Mostly what? What are they?
No, we actually have a wide variety of people. We run from Catholics to Protestants to non-denominational.
So when you're sharing the gospel in these mm-hmm. meetings and you're doing Bible teaching and devotionals and stuff, I mean, you're going to
our Bible
run into
teaching,
some head knocking, aren't you?
No, we don't really have much head knocking. I mean, our members.
What fun is that?
Yeah.
You know,
clearly, we're not made to run one of these things, Troy. Our calling is elsewhere.
You know, our members really value. We require that they attend 10 of the 12 meetings a year. I mean, so it is a high standard that we have for our C-12 members. When they come,
so if they don't, if they miss three, they're kicked out.
That's, well, we ask them to assess their situation, and if they don't, we have them sign a covenant agreement that they're going to be there for 10 of the 12.
That's 80 hours.
If they don't, then we ask them. You know, we don't just kick them out. We have a conversation with them to talk about where they are and what's going on. If they're not committed to the meeting, then yes, we tell them that they're no longer qualified.
So that's 80+%.
Right.
You should do that at your church. You don't show up 80% of the time, you're out of here.
That's right. That's so right. We get about 3% of the population, right?
But, you know, when we get together, these guys, guys and women, they're very serious about their business and very serious about learning. So we have a time that's called Business as Ministry. We don't get into heavy theological debates or doctrinal issues. We'll leave that for the churches to do because we're a partner with churches. But what we do is help them to realize what the Bible says about running their business as ministry. So we talk about certain values and concepts. So, for example, this past month we've talked about running our business as a ministry with that perspective of the eternal bima in mind.
Yeah, yeah.
What is our return on investment eternally, just not temporary? But we've had members, go back to your earlier question, we've had members travel hours and hours to come to a C-12 member. We had one C-12 member that was up in New York before we had a group in New York. He had moved from Tampa, and every month he would get on a plane and fly from New York to Tampa just to go to a C-12 group.
Sure.
So, what do you think about the idea that Jonathan should be doing this at his church for those who are in business at his church, and that you should be doing it as a pastor at your church for people who are in business at your church? And if I ran a church that people, you know, were at my church, I should be having a meeting of those who are in business and having mutual accountability within the context of local church. Paul Monday, who was on right before us, his show airs right before ours, he's a pastor of a very large church, and so I'm sure he has lots of CEO types in his church. Shouldn't he have quote-unquote C-12 groups in his church?
Well, I think we put too much on the church sometimes. I think the church is designed to equip people for ministry. And so what each church, how they do that, I think there's some flexibility in what God calls. Yes, you should challenge your business members, business owners to run their business from God. But I don't think God has called every church to have business owners get together and have a meeting. I think that's why God has called the C-12 group to come along and other groups like us to have a really concerted effort on bringing Christian business owners. And I need the pastors and church leaders to challenge their business owners to go further and go deeper than maybe what a Bible study on a Saturday morning might do for a business owner.
Now, do you position it with the people that are become members of your C-12 groups as at least part of what they're doing is how they're going to do ministry in and through their business?
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't want them to separate their ministry from business. We want it to see, you know, I want, and we challenge our CEO members to think about their entire perspective of their life and not just do ministry on Sunday morning or do what the church, you know, serve on a elder board or a deacon board or something along those lines. That's important, and we encourage them to do that. But we don't want them to leave their faith on Monday morning when they go into the workplace. So their biggest ministry, what we challenge them is, their biggest ministry is those 40 or 60 or 70 hours that they run their business through the week. That's all hours that they could be doing something for the eternal perspective.
Right. I'm just wondering, do you ever get pushback on these sorts of questions? People say, you know, it sounds kind of like, you know, a lot of parachurch organizations where they're supplementing what the church is doing. They're not trying to compete with what the church is doing. But if they're not careful, the parachurch organizations end up supplanting the role of the church. You know, if it is an extension of their walk as Christians and their ministry as Christians and their business is an extension of them doing ministry in the community, then doesn't that fall under the headship of the elders and the pastors of the churches?
Well,
this is a question for you too, John. Are the churches falling down in their responsibility in helping business owners and CEOs think about things in a way that C-12 gets them to think about it? You were going to say something. I'll let you go.
Well, I think we move beyond, and that's why we have the business component. So, you know, we're strategic in, obviously, the ministry is a component of what our day exists if around tables. But we also are very strategic about best business practices. And our CEO, our C-12 groups are run by business owners. They have business owners that are around the table. And so we're very equipped to talk about real business issues in a way that's that maybe not every church or maybe every pastor has had that experience. And so we go and expand, we go deeper and larger than maybe what a local church could do.
How much do churches, you know, and especially maybe those that that are larger, that have the potential to have a population of many, you know, business owners in their churches, do you think that there are many out there, you know, like Rick Warren, you know, or Bill Hybels, you know, or these different guys that already have this kind of thing happening in their local church? Do you think it's likely?
I think there's, I mean, you know, Bill Hybels' leadership summit every year, I think, is kind of that model and that concept of a conference that challenges business leaders to learn best business practices and go out. The difference, what we find, is that we have that monthly accountability. So you go to a conference and you may get a good idea, and we think that's effective and supportive, but who's going to help you live out those daily decisions that you have to make in your company every single month? Who's going to be there to challenge you every single month to think, make sure that you are having that eternal perspective? Where are you going to get that business process every single month that really helps you to think real time about the issues? And then the best component is the peer advisory board, where we have the other CEOs. We bring real time issues. So they have 11, they serve as a board for one another. So they have 11 other CEOs that they can bring any issue to, whether it's spiritual, whether it's personal, whether it's business related, and get the advice and wisdom of 11 other people. You're not going to get that in a conference, or you're not going to get that.
Do you have pastors as part of these groups?
We have a few more executive pastors of large churches that are part, but it's not, unfortunately, it's not something that we see,
because there's a prohibitive cost on the front end if you're coming from a smaller congregation.
Right, we are a pay-for-fee service business.
Right,
and we did that intentionally. We're not a nonprofit. We are a business because we wanted our C12 chairs to be in the same situation that every business owner that was going to be in their group. So we are we do the monthly roundtables. We do one-on-one coaching with our members. We also do seminars and conferences that we invite not only our members to, but other people that might be interested in a particular topic. We do that throughout the year, but we are a pay-for-fee service.
Ken Gosnell is the area chair of the C12 group here locally. Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. I'm Troy Skinner. This is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I think there's great value. We've been spending now 2.5 shows on what C12 does, and there's great value in it. But it still does trouble me a little bit, you know, that there's the need for a C12 group. It does feel to me like the church should be doing a better job of this and providing that. So, well, who's going to do that regular accountability, that month to month? The church. That seems like that should be the default answer. So it troubles me a little bit that the church isn't doing a better job of discipling and mentoring and holding accountable not just the CEOs, but all of the members. If the church isn't holding the CEOs accountable with regularity and helping them work through difficult decisions they have to make in their day-to-day lives Monday through Saturday, then they're probably, if they're not doing it for the CEOs, they're probably not doing a very good job of it collectively for the entire congregation.
Okay, so let's look at church history, right? You're the Apostle Paul, you know, and you've got Priscilla and Aquila. You know, she's a worker in purple, you know, the different ones that come along. And you're a growing organization that is pretty unified, you know, in terms of what they represent. And you've got one business owner that gets it and is trying to live out Christ in their business. And you got another business owner that's coming, you know, to your services regularly but isn't getting it. I mean, you're probably going to say, hey, would you, you know, you'd say to the guy that gets it, the business owner that gets it, would you sit down with me and this other guy, you know, because I feel like there's some things that you could work out together, right? Well, as the church continued to grow, I bet that there was all kinds of things like that happening. But what's happened is that the church has splintered since the Protestant Reformation, and even before that, and that splintering has created all kinds of gaps that these organizations step into that are parachurch, right? And preferably, you know, we'd all bless one another and care for one another. There'd be a sense that we're all one in Christ together. We've tried to do that somewhat with the Evangelical Ministerial Fellowship. But in fact, I'd like to see in Frederick that those pastors and those churches that are serious about the gospel, that are serious about the Word of God, helping to facilitate something like that happen here in Frederick.
Absolutely.
You know, and the question is a question of unity of the body of Christ, I think, Troy, not so much a question of whether or not the church should be doing it better. The church should be doing a lot of things better. If we were walking in the unity that Christ won for us on the cross, I think we do way more of those things a lot more effectively. But we've lost that, and unless we regain it, I think there's going to continue to be gaps that have to be filled by parachurch organizations that could be filled by the church if we just didn't perceive them as threats and we worked together.
And I don't want to challenge your ability to make a living by getting more organizations in this area, but I would put out a charge to any and all pastors listening that you need to think about your church doing this better. Your local congregation should be doing a better job of this. And maybe as part of that, you could get some people involved in C12. You know, I don't see that it has to be either or, but if C12 is a ministry, at least part of the component is this ministry mindset, and it's for the church and it's for believers to come together. I mean, it's the church being the church, but without the covering, right? Like anybody could host a Bible study at their house and lead the Bible study, and you know, more power to them. But a better scenario is the person who wants to lead the Bible study goes to their pastor or their leadership of their church and says, "Hey, I want to lead a Bible study at my house. This is the book we're going to study, or this is the Bible we're going to book of the Bible we're going to be focusing on. I'd like your blessing and your insight and your oversight on how we're going to handle this." That would be a more ideal situation, right?
So one church, though, I mean, one church has two CEOs, another church has two CEOs. You know, another church is a really big one; they've got six or seven. You know, that churches are limited precisely because they're splintered away from one another. And if you have a church that's big enough, maybe there's one or two churches here in Frederick that are big enough that they could have a whole C12 group of these guys that had unified pastoral oversight from that congregation. But again, I hear your challenge, and I'm just saying that as a pastor, I don't think it's going to happen. But if a group of pastors got together and went to their business owners and said, "Hey, we'd like to recommend you guys getting together, and we'd like to say that we encourage that as a group of pastors, you know, and you know, Ken Gosnell's material is the kind of material that we feel like is really good material, you know, that could provide that." But the providing of that oversight, I just think, can't happen church by church. It somehow has got to be a unified thing.
And as a pastor, I'll just tell you, I would rather my member go out and start a Bible study. I mean, if they felt like God is calling them in their community or in their neighborhood to start a Bible study, they don't have to ask me for approval of that. I mean, they might come and say, what do I recommend? But, I mean, I'm equipping them. That's my job
as
a pastor.
Sure, but I'm not saying that they have to ask. And that was what I was trying to
Yeah, is this an authoritarian thing?
I don't think they have to ask. But
he's not usually, so
don't you think it would be good if they came to you just to give you like a heads up?
I think if they were doing... Sure, I mean, you know, communication is always a great thing, but I'd rather them have... If God has called them to do something in their neighborhood... Man, wouldn't that? I was thinking about that with Easter not too long ago. Wouldn't it be better? You know, a lot of our churches get together, have an Easter egg hunt for the neighborhood, and so on and so forth. Wouldn't it be better if we had 50 Easter egg hunts? If every member of our church did an Easter egg hunt in their neighborhood?
That's
their
a different debate. I'd say it'd be better if we had zero Easter egg hunts.
He hates everything that has any kind of pagan background connotations.
Anyway,
you walked into it in that one, man. I just think
it's good to have covering and oversight.
Right, sure, absolutely.
Right?
You know, and I would challenge
in all of our relationships, you know, it's part of our interpersonal relationship. It's part of what it means to have leaderships in your church.
Sure, absolutely.
And that's one of the concerns people have with parachurch organizations, is they're kind of outside of traditional church leadership. Like, there's not a church covering over C12, right? So I'm just wondering if you wrestle with that, or if you've ever had anybody.
I don't wrestle.
That's
with
a good
that.
Question. Do you run your principles by somebody that the C12 groups that the principles are, you know?
Sure. Yeah, C12 has a board.
Yeah.
That's been in existence since the very beginning. And they have to have a unanimous decision.
And there's pastors or church leaders on that board.
Church leaders on it. I don't think there's any.
I'm telling you, Troy, we sound like the Catholic Church here. You know, like, well, if the Pope hasn't said yes, or the College of Cardinals hasn't said yes.
What I would challenge is every pastor that's listening, I would challenge you to preach one sermon this year on faith in the workplace. and then challenge any business.
Just one?
Just at least one. Challenge every person to not leave their faith when they go to work on Monday morning. And challenge any business owner to run their business as Christ would run the church. That's the first thing that churches can do.
We're doing the Courageous Bible Study right now, and they get into that very effectively,
right,
about the importance of taking your faith with you.
Absolutely.
I've been pleased with their material.
Yeah, and I want to make sure it's not misunderstood.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that there's this need for some authoritarian dictate and only those who have a position of leadership have any say.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking more about the heart of Paul.
Okay.
Paul was commissioned as an apostle by Christ directly. He meets him on the road to Damascus, right? And
yeah.
and he's, at that point forward, he's an apostle.
Yeah.
And yet, he goes out of his way to go meet with the council at Jerusalem to kind of get their blessing. Right?
He doesn't after the fact. I think he went out and preached and talked for a while, talked to the Gentiles. Then
yeah.
He kind of got it stirred up.
I've just been studying that issue, in Galatians, because we now meet in a Messianic Jewish congregation's building, right? And so I've been studying that out. And the reality is that in Galatians, he makes it very clear that he went up to Jerusalem because the Judaizers that had come down from Jerusalem were trying to impose something. So he went up to Jerusalem. You almost get the sense as much to verify that the apostles were doing the right thing as that he was doing the right thing. But I think your principle is that he was keen for there to be a sense of unified,
and that there was
understanding of what should be said and done.
He's saying, you know, hey, the Council of Jerusalem is an important body.
I don't think that we can. I would challenge, and I haven't really thought it through, but my first blush instinct is that the Acts 15 Council can't be considered a covering council for the Apostle Paul. And that he didn't perceive it that way so much as he went up to, like, I think if they wouldn't have agreed with him, that Paul would have had a Martin Luther moment where he would have said, you know, I must stand on the word of God. I can do no other.
Well, on that note, we're going to have to end. We will stand on the word of God. We can do no other.
Right.
Jonathan Switzer, our senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. I'm Troy Skinner. Our guest this week from the C12 group, Ken Gosnell. Visit us online, WFMD.com, keyword faith. Our sponsor has been Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Talk to you again in, 167 and a half hours. Till then, God bless.
Here at Putman Plumbing, we make a living by servicing our customers' needs, but we make our life by how we service our clients. The Putman Plumbing Way combines value, ethics, honest answers, and amazing service because we believe you deserve it. Putman Plumbing, how can we make you smile?